Thanks for joining us this morning. My name's Richard Fox-Smith. I'm the IT manager at Kennards Hire. Today we're really going to be talking about, I guess, our implementation of Hyper-V and what we see it as enabling us to do for multi-site DR. It's really about our experience being an early adopter for Microsoft, so we'll be taking you through, I guess, a bit of our learning and a bit of our vision for how we're going to work.
Hi, everybody. My name's Michael Chanter. I'm General Manager for Cloud Services at Frontline Systems. Frontline is a gold partner who focus in the core infrastructure and managed services space.
So before we get into it, I guess I'm not sure if a lot of you are familiar with Kennards Hire. We're Kennards Hire, not Kennards Storage. A lot of people think we're the same, but we're not. We're two different companies. Kennards Hire is Australia's leading hire company. We're Australian-owned, a family business, private company. We have a fairly simple business model. We hire tools and equipment out to our customers at branch sites. So we have 125 branches across Australia. The branch is probably our most important thing from an IT perspective. The branch has to be operating. So really, in the Kennards world, the branch is everything. So when it comes to IT systems, we'll talk a lot about what it means, I guess, from a branch perspective. In terms of size, we're about 900 people company-wide, 38,000 customers across both account-style customers and cash customers. So that's a retail sort of business where there's transactions across the counter, so cash. We do around 850,000 invoice transactions a year, just to give you some idea of our size, and our revenue's over 200 million. A little bit of a history of where we came from. I joined Kennards about four and a half years ago. When I joined, we were working together with Frontline at the time to review effectively what was a fairly messed up situation. The technology stack at Kennards was pretty diverse, to say it mildly. We had pretty much every database apart from Oracle by the look of it. We had DB2, Lotus Notes, SQL Server, a variety of versions. MySQL. Operating systems, we had pretty much everything as well. We had various versions of Server. We had various versions of Linux. In fact, we were running Linux in our branch front counters as well, so on the desktop as well. And we were also running a very particular version of VMware for VDI, just to help out with some ERP issues we were having with our desktop, remote desktops. And we were also running Lotus Notes in the branches, sorry, for email. At the branch, I mentioned we had 100 servers at every branch. So we had 100 servers out there. At every branch, we had a server. So that was painful as well. Every time we did an upgrade, we had to touch 100 servers. So it was pretty painful. They were all running Fedora Core 3 or 6, DB2, plus a proprietary point of sale. All pretty hard. As you can see, we struggled a lot to keep it all running. We had a fairly young IT team, so the guys were just under the pump the whole time.
So in terms of Frontline's engagement, we've been working with Kennards for almost 5 years now. And our role with Kennards was really as a strategic partner around looking at what the strategy would be from an IT perspective. So, Richard just explained that the original organization from an IT perspective was fairly messy, difficult to manage, and so on. So we were engaged to really work with Kennards to build a bit of a roadmap, and that was built around really two sort of key principles. The first being that we really needed to drive, some reductions in both the complexity and the cost of the IT environment. And the second was that we really wanted to sort of adopt the whole infrastructure optimization approach, which for those of you who've been coming and getting the Microsoft religion for the last few years is probably fairly familiar. But it was really about taking Kennards from a very basic, disorganized environment to one that was dynamic and allowed them to, scale up and scale down, provision things in an automated fashion, and do all of the things that we sort of look at as being fairly standard today. So in terms of key decisions that we made in that process, the first was to move to a fairly holistic Microsoft stack across the entire IT environment, and really to take a Microsoft-first view of it. The basic premise behind that was just that we'd We wanted to move from a very non-homogeneous, you know, mixed environment to something that was easier to manage. It wasn't really a religious decision, it was fairly a standard sort of approach. And the reason they went with Microsoft was because most of the inherent application stack was still based on that. There was also, you know, a move to a fairly highly virtualized DC environment. So, you know, over the last couple of years, we've moved from, you know, a Microsoft stack to a virtualized stack running out of the data center, utilizing System Center to manage that environment as best we could, but basically delivering all of the IT service out to the branches via Citrix. So a lot of that branch-centric IT was reduced right down, and it was a much more rationalised environment. So really, that's sort of where we are today.
Yep, and if we, I guess, having a look at this rather detailed diagram, I'm pretty sure you can't see what they are. But we built, I guess, the platform, as Michael was saying, we swapped out our core infrastructure to be as pure Microsoft as we could at the time. We'll get into a little bit of that detail in a second. We also have what we call our sort of tier two apps, which I guess from a DI perspective, we consider not needing to survive. You know, that they don't need to be there from the immediacy of getting our branch operation running. So really, you know, in the work we've done around DR, the branch is always focus. So getting point of sale up and running at the branch is what we want to focus on. Okay. And then obviously our tier one, which is our tier one app, is around our point of sale, which is an ERP system. So when we look at the core, when we look at that tier one app, it's point of sale. So it's the thing that trades with our customer in the branch. It's basically a .NET app. It's a very high specific ERP. It's Australian based as well. Most of the top hire companies in Australia use it. It's delivered via Citrix, so we use ZenApp to deliver a published desktop to our 125 branches. So we're roughly talking around 420 concurrent users at any one time. And again, that is super important, because that's the branch being able to trade, being able to fulfill requests for the customer and managing their hire operations as well.
And payroll.
Payroll's important as well, naturally, only on a Tuesday. In terms of the core infrastructure, what we had deployed was fairly plain vanilla Microsoft, you know, Server 2008, majority of our server instances, R2, I guess, as well in there, Active Directory. We moved to Exchange 2007, and we've recently just upgraded everything to SQL 2008 R2. That's the highest we can go at the moment with our ERP vendor. In terms of physical servers, we really only have four or five physical servers. We've got the SQL still in a server cluster, physical. Active Directory is physical. Exchange has a physical node and a virtual node. And for management, we left System Center as a physical box. The rest of our infrastructure is virtualized on Zen Server. We actually run two farms, Zen Server 5 and a Zen Server 6 farm. It just happened to out of that way in terms of what the hardware level that got supported. And naturally, the published apps are delivered via Citrix, which happens to be Zen App version 5. In terms of size, one of the things that we have is a fairly small IT organization. We really only have 10 people. Of that, really, you know, the only sort of seven of us, including myself, are IT operations. The rest are in the application tier and strategy, and follow through on the point of sale and testing, all those sorts of stuff. So we're pretty small, and of that, the help desk is actually mostly made up of casuals, guys who are still at uni. So we're really pretty tight. And the challenge for us is that, you know, even with such a small IT group, we're being asked to deliver more and more, as I'm sure all of you are as well. So we're pretty cross-functional in the technical group, and we'll cover off no single tier of responsibility. We kind of cover each other a lot.
In terms of customers, for us, I'd say a ratio of 1 to 90 IT to staff is probably the leanest organisation we deal with.
I'm not sure I've ever been described as lean, but we'll go from there. So we came then to our next part of the strategic planning, because we'd got to this stage where everything was looking fairly good, but it was probably time to take another look at what we put in place, because it was getting around about 3.5 to 4 years old.
So, and at that point, I think there were four business drivers that really, you know, were critical to Kennards. The first was there was a view that whilst everything was reasonably good, the virtualization platform was still a bit of a silo outside of the Microsoft stack. So it was a little bit difficult to manage. It required another skill set, as you can imagine, in a team of seven. Every skill set is, you know, is pain. And so there was a real view that we needed to review that virtualization platform, that we should really look at how we can improve the manageability of the IT environment. And the business itself had concerns about DR, because although the infrastructure was managed in a Tier 3 data center and very robust, and there was every reason to believe that we wouldn't have an issue, the fact was that there was no DR environment. So from a business perspective, Kennards was looking to us to help them put together a strategy around what we should do with DR. And then lastly, there was a view that given the lean sort of organisation that they are, it would be really useful to look at how we could move to a cloud-first architecture. How could we take advantage of cloud, you know, in any way, really, whether it be application, virtualization, whatever. So they were really, you know, the four business drivers we looked at in terms of what we're going to do this year. So off the back of that, we were really driving to that dynamic environment.
Yeah. So happily, I guess, around about the same time, we were aware of Server 2012 and a lot of its feature set, and we felt a ton of that in sort of the Hyper-V environment could address a couple of our concerns around getting disaster recovery up off the ground, and also really looking at getting into the next generation of hypervisor. So at the time, this is sort of early this year, we actually got invited by Microsoft into what they call a rapid deployment program, which is around deploying Server 2012 into production using pre-release code. So we're actually in production with the latest release candidate, not the actual RTM version. And basically get trained up, get into it as quickly as we could, and get some feedback from, you know, back to them around the stability and around just the performance and manageability of it. So in our case, the way they structure the program is around certain scenarios. In our case, we were assigned into scenario 2, which is moving beyond virtualization to build a cloud-optimized IT. It's all very fancy. In reality, all it gave us, well, firstly, it aligned very well with what we were trying to do or trying to look at. So it actually was a very good fit for us. But in reality, what was the program? The program was, you know, get our hands on Server 2012, get led by Microsoft on how to use it, understand its feature set, you know, where it fitted in and what it was going to allow us to leverage. So really, you know, get in and get dirty with it. And then try and understand what it could do for Kennards at the data center. Because, you know, we were aware of the sorts of problems that we were already having around just the manageability, ability to look after stuff and manage, ability to dive into technical issues. You know, Zen Server, while it's been fantastic for us, is not a technology stack that we're that familiar with. So we rely on Frontline a lot to do the technical work there. Whereas in a Microsoft environment, we're much more comfortable and we can probably learn it quicker. We can probably Google as well as the next person to find the answer. And you know, we've just got a little bit better ability there. So during that program, we really got probably four or five things out of that program which sort of reinforced our decision that Server 2012 was probably a good fit for us. In fact, you know, the end result is we very much believe so. And it really was around four bits of technology, which we'll go into in a moment, which gave us that opinion. Just dive straight into, I guess, the pilot program. So effectively, the RDP program was around two things. We went to a deep dive technical training session at Microsoft and got trained up on a variety of technologies. And then when we got home, we were expected to run a pilot in our lab environment. And then also after the back of the pilot program, we would deploy into production and have production workloads running on the whatever it was we were deploying. In our case, we actually went out and bought two new servers for the project, running on IBM 3650s. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with them. Very nice bit of gear. All worked without much drama, but that was a new bit of gear, so you would expect Server 2012 to cope very well. What you see on the right-hand side there is, well, my right, is a fairly old IBM server box, a 30X346, so it's about 4 or 5 year old hardware, and Server 2012 installed pretty well on that too, so that was kind of surprising. And we ended up using that as an iSCSI target for the storage so that we could build a true cluster and just get it up and running in an environment that sort of closely reflected what production would look like. We used a lot of NIC teaming there, as you can see, but to a single switch, which I'll go into in a little moment. Effectively, that was running a protocol called LACP, which is where the team, the server team and the switch team, the switch is aware of the teaming, so I think you get a bit more throughput that way. But in our pilot program, it all went very smoothly. We didn't have any sort of technical issues. This was release candidate 1, so it was not the most recent release candidate, and it all just sort of worked pretty well. Off the back of that, I guess we discovered, or we kind of knew it, but this is some of the additional improvements that we got out of what Hyper-V will offer us versus how we're running at the moment. So in terms of high availability, in our implementation of Zen Server, we didn't have a high availability. So if we lose a host, you've got to manually go in and tweak it to get the VM running on the surviving host. So we'd had a number of instances where that had actually cost us some downtime at branches, not for the whole point of sale, but for certain services. And that can cost them 20, 30 minutes while we find the right guy who knows the right commands to run. So in Hyper-V, running in a cluster, obviously it's aware of which ones are highly available. And in the event of a host failure, the VM will automatically respawn on the available host. So we tested that in the lab. I mean, it's not overly new to this version of Hyper-V, but for us it's new. And worked well, worked as expected. So in that regard, this is a pretty important step for us because it builds on our commitment to the branch to improve the survivability of our systems is an improvement in our overall delivery to the business. One of the features that we didn't get to test, which we're hoping to shortly, is looking at Virtual Machine Manager and what that'll give us. One of the key features there is the intelligent placement. So in our hypervisor environment, we have about 13 hosts. And we have a fairly dynamic workload, so it would be good to be able to move them to the appropriate resources, and that's what VMM should be able to let us do. But currently, they're a little bit out of sync on their versions, so we're waiting on, I think, on a service pack for System Center to be able to control Server 2012 servers. In terms of some of our learnings around, just getting the pilot up, one of the things that we learnt, well, which we knew, but was NIC teaming is now supported directly in the Microsoft stack, so you don't go to a third-party driver set, and that just works out of the box. In terms of the pilot, we used LACP, as I mentioned, but when we actually came to move to our data center, we had a different switch configuration, which meant we had to go to a mode called switch independent mode, and again, worked fine. Very similar to what our Zen server setup is, but in terms of ease of configuration and setup was greatly improved. This, I guess, is probably the biggest feature that we're excited about because it really helps us address the DR problem that we've been having. It allows the publishing of a VM to a separate Hyper-V server, and it replicates the changes across the network and keeps that copy in sync. So it also allows prior snapshots so that you can fall back that VM to a slightly earlier time. And in terms of ease of getting this up, again, it was pretty simple. So it just works as advertised. We did, when we were in the pilot phase, obviously we were only publishing locally, between the clusters. So you can run the VMs either within the cluster or separately on each node. So we did a little bit of testing there. But when we went into the full production phase, we were able to test this feature across our internal WAN, so running on a 10 megabit per second link, which was our main link back to our support office, and it all works fine. So in terms of this, it's really really important step for us to be able to have a bit of technology that will address probably the main concerns we had about getting a DR solution up. In our current environment, we'd looked fairly into fair detail around how we could get Zen Server to do the same thing, and it wasn't ever going to be as sort of simple to set up and probably easy to manage. It involved exporting things, it involved snapshotting, it involved getting everything up to the same level of code, and it just wasn't going to be that simple to do. And while we were getting close to actually executing on that, we were able to put it on hold because a few business changes occurred where they didn't want to proceed with the DR project immediately, and we felt if we could hold off until we could have a really good look at Server 2012, we felt that would be a better and more elegant way of doing it.
So in this instance, we'd actually architected a solution around Zen Server. So we'd done the work, we'd been paid to do the work, and we actually, the advice we gave to Kennards was to hold, have a look at 2012, because we felt it was going to be much more elegant. And I think that's been borne out. The alternative really, as Richard said, was a bit manual, a bit messy, but also more expensive, frankly, because there were really either a lot of sticky tape and blue tack to make it work, or it was going to be some storage replication, which typically is expensive and locks you into storage platforms, which is something we'll talk about later, but really neither of those were particularly palatable solutions to Kennards. And I think we've found that Hyper-V Replica as an alternative is far easier. Not only cheaper, but easier.
So, excuse me, still fairly early days, I guess, in our reviews of this. So our next step, so we obviously have this up and running in production. We really want to get more VMs onto it and just see how it behaves under sort of a heavier load, copying more and more VMs over that wire. But, very, very good so far. And really, this is a key enabler for our DR vision. And, a project will be up over the next probably 6 months to get this into full production, the DR component. I guess some of the learnings that we got out of what we tested. The first thing to note is all of our pilot and production steps are running all within our own AD domain. So we don't have any permissional issues at the moment. When we look at moving up and pushing replicas up, hopefully into Frontline's cloud, we know there are a few challenges to tackle around certificates and probably some networking challenges. So we have not yet conquered those or really fully outlined what they're going to be. The other issue we came across is during the move from pilot phase to production, we obviously changed release candidates. In production, we went to the latest release candidate. We found the replicas did not work across the two different release candidate versions. So that's something to be aware of if any of you are playing with this in your labs or in your systems. Obviously, we should all probably be moving to the RTM version anyway, but that caused us a little bit of a problem. The other thing that has been recommended by Microsoft, which we haven't done yet, and interested to see what it does in terms of performance or data moves, they've recommended the Hyper-V replica is actually really just keeping the VHD file in sync and pumping the VHD file across the wire. What they have suggested is putting the Windows paging file onto a separate VHD and not replicating that VHD so that you get all those writes not occurring. So we're interested to see how that goes and whether that makes a big improvement or whether it affects it at all. The other thing that we really like the look of is live migration. I'm not sure if you guys are across all the features that Hyper-V in 2012 offers, but live migration for us looks to be a really key feature as well. Given that we're running two Zen farms, the biggest problem we've got is it's just painful moving VMs between them. In fact, it's a one-way mission from version 5 to version 6. It's a one-way mission, so we can't move them back and forth. And more importantly, we're left with lungs that are sort of half full or you know, not fully optimised. So it's really painful when you're sort of running your system not to be able to move things around. With Hyper-V live migration, they're terming it shared nothing. Effectively, the Hyper-V target that you're aiming for doesn't have to be part of the cluster, doesn't even have to be part of the same storage network. So it effectively will copy across firstly the VHD, copy over the memory, and then finally do that handoff. And it's pretty impressive to watch. When we did this in our lab, we were running a session of YouTube in a virtual machine. We were connected to it via RDP. As we did the move, you couldn't see any change on the YouTube. It just worked. We saw maybe two pings drop, but it worked really well. Obviously, that's on a local network, so it's running pretty quick. So really, just as an aside, I guess what we're thinking here is that this thing, over time, doesn't matter how clean your DC architecture starts out, it gets pretty messy over time, and we see this as just being another feature that really lets us get out of jail and manage our infrastructure better. Some of the learnings there, obviously, there's a big difference when it has to copy over that storage. There's a lot more data that has to go over. So, you know, you really just got to be aware of the bandwidth and performance implications that has. The cluster, it doesn't have to copy the storage, so it's a lot faster. The other thing that we started to experiment with was PowerShell on running up Hyper-V virtual machines. We've been using PowerShell a little bit through our help desk guys, sort of automating certain tasks like getting new users up and keeping our AD synced with our ERP in terms of user details and stuff like that. So the boys are starting to really get a feel for running and using PowerShell. The fact that we can now hit Hyper-V through that without any additional add-ins or anything is really good. And just help us build out our process. So I did throw in a PowerShell script here, which I'm sure I also stole from somebody on Google. Effectively, it's very simple. Lets us copy out 4 VMs from a base image, set the memory, set the number of processors, add it into the particular VLAN. All very simple. So we're looking forward to, I guess, automating a number of our tasks with that. The other thing that sort of took us a little bit by surprise in terms of what we got out of the RDP was just the amount of storage options that are available on Server 2012. You see that we already used it as an iSCSI target in our pilot. The other thing that it does enable you to do is run basically VMs and SQL from a UNC path using the new SMB 3.0 protocol. So that's something we really want to get into. We see that simplifying a lot of our architecture in many ways, probably mainly for test and run-up environments rather than true production, but I guess we'll see as we get into that. The other point we used on the servers that we put in a lot of spare hard drive capacity, and we ended up using storage spaces to cut it up. It's kind of like a mini SAN. You can cut it up any way you want, and then you can make it an iSCSI target. So we did that a lot. Because moving your VMs, copying your VMs, transporting them and converting them from Zen server into VHDs, it takes a fair bit of storage. So it was very good. And really, that's just a suggestion there that when you're doing this stuff, make sure you give yourself plenty of storage, because we're continually under the pump on the SAN, running out of storage.
The key thing there is you're talking about cheap storage. So, any of you guys who are running, large or even, it doesn't even need to be large, but where you've got a virtual environment, you'll know that the pain of trying to shuffle virtual servers around is always often storage constrained, because you just don't have enough SAN space or whatever. This really helps to alleviate that with, really cheap storage solutions to that, which is, fantastic when you're doing those sort of rebalancing exercises and so on.
Yeah, I mean, we always say we're going to tidy it up, but you never quite get to it. And this is our production architecture diagram. The main difference here, obviously, is we've now got HBAs in the servers, so we're talking now directly to our SAN. So we've got dual HBAs in both of them. In this case, we use slightly older driver model. We had to contact IBM to find out what the right driver config was, and it all, server 2012 supported it all, so no problem. We didn't really have any dramas actually using it. It was more around seeing what the best practice needed to be. We can see we've got the team switches up there, again using the different protocol with the independent team switching. And then on the right-hand side, we've got basically what we were targeting across for our Hyper-V replica. So we were running actually a 3850. It's not shown on the diagram there. Again, about a three-year-old bit of hardware with its storage provided by the iSCSI target. So again, we were using a lot of the Server 2012 features to actually deliver all of the infrastructure here. This is now in production, so we have a two-node Hyper-V cluster running in production. We're only running two or three virtual machine workloads on there at the moment, which are our Citrix XenApp instances. But in terms of what I was talking about before, where the branch is our most important customer, that actually represents about 10% of our front counter workload. So, you know, we're not mucking around by not putting proper workloads on there. And, you know, we've been very happy with the performance. And, you know, obviously there's only a couple of VMs, so there's got plenty of CPU around. But we're hoping to build that up and start to see how it performs under load fairly soon. I guess then just our overall impressions on 2012. You know, we used two sets of release candidates. Both of them were fairly solid, or in fact as solid as you would expect. They expect of a production release. We didn't have any problems. You know, we didn't have any trouble with installing where you would normally expect to run into driver issues. And when I talk about performance here, I'm not talking about, I guess, CPU or grunt performance. I'm just talking about general performance of, you know, opening and running various programs. Are we hitting errors? Are we hitting, you know, event log problems? And really, we didn't come across anything that was, you know, out of the ordinary. So we were very pleased with, I guess, the stability and the level of commitment Microsoft had put into the product. You know, it provides us a ton of options, which I've sort of already gone through. But really, you know, the overall takeaway from our RDP experience was that Hyper-V version 3 is really what we want to be basing our next generation hypervisor on. It was what we had thought would be our strategy, and it was really confirmed by what we were able to test. You know, the benefits that we see already from Hyper-V is that a fact that just leverages our Windows skills already. You know, we're able to get in there and look at things. We're able to run Perfmon. We're able to run PowerShell, and it really just takes away one of those little technology stacks which we'd got, you know, Zen Server, which, again, you know, has performed really well for us, but it just brings us back to where we're wanting it to be, which is, you know, pretty much a pure Microsoft stack.
And on that note, the plan for these guys this year is to upgrade to 2012 for System Center as well, so System Center will become the management environment for everything in Kennards. And the only reason we haven't done that, as Richard mentioned earlier, is that the System Center support for VMM wasn't quite there during the RDP process. But that's definitely the strategy.
Yeah. So that's really another project, I guess, which we're hoping to kick off and get through System Center 2012, and, you know, leverage all of the sort of automation tools that will provide as well. But, you know, one of the challenges there, though, is chewing through all that amount of technology. I mean, System Center itself is not a small product. So, you know, that's one of the challenges we've got to get into. In terms of the RDP experience as a whole, just from a technical perspective, from a sort of holistic perspective, it was a very good experience. If any of you guys get to participate or invited to something like that, I would very much recommend it. The technical deep dive that we did over in Seattle was fantastic. Really got us across Server 2012 capabilities really well. And it got us ahead of the game in terms of our thinking of what we were going to do in the data center. and in terms of how fast we wanted to deploy it. It also gave us a big insight into just how big a release Server 2012 is. I mean, all we've spoken about is a very small component of Hyper-V in here. Admittedly, they're probably the flagship features, but we really haven't spoken about, you know, the performance characteristics of Hyper-V in terms of the improvements they've made there, or even, you know, any of the things around AD, IIS, or all those other applications. And, you know, we did mention a little bit about storage spaces, so that's been really very good. And the other thing we got out of the RDP, I guess, was just an enhanced relationship with Microsoft. We already had a very strong relationship with Frontline, but it's allowed us, I guess, a little bit closer to Microsoft and understanding where they're coming from and, you know, tremendous support from them as well.
So in terms of outcomes, I guess, if we look back to where we started in terms of where Kennards were from an IT maturity, you know, this really took Kennards, has taken Kennards to the dynamic delivery model they were looking for. It's given improved manageability with System Center 2012. We're obviously rationalising to the single stack, which we talked about, so Microsoft is your hypervisor platform. Ready-made cross DC DR solution, so we actually are in the process of building out a DR environment for Kennards, which will be a System Center as a service, if you like. I mean, sorry, Server 2012 as a service in our data centres. So that we've done the proof of concept, we've shown the technology works, all that sort of thing. Obviously, it's improved the resilience and agility because, and we've also removed the hardware reliance. So the ability to, you know, move off proprietary storage, replication technologies, all that sort of thing. And really, I think we've addressed the cloud-ready infrastructure bit. You know, Richard is currently in the process of going through some big corporate acquisition work. It's fairly typical for Kennards to have, you know, peaky times during the year. This is an opportunity not only for DR, but ultimately at some point down the track to have a burst-out capability either into our environment or into Azure or others. So I think, you know, these sorts of things have really taken them to that final sort of step in terms of infrastructure. So.
Okay, these are new slides we haven't seen.
Yeah,
these.
No, we were asked to tell you. I know you already know. But so that I think that's it for us in terms of formal.
Yeah. So if we just want to open it up for some questions,
I have bribes in the form of shirts. So if anyone asks us a good question, the shirt's on offer. Yes.
Just quickly, why did you choose to utilise Windows Server 2012 replication rather than using the SAM application? Was it primarily so you weren't locked in, or were there other reasons?
Yeah, it's primarily around cost. It's not something that the business really, you know, is not wanting us to. They want a sort of a, how would you call it, a lesser quality DR solution. They're not prepared to front up for the cost around, you know, a really tier one DR solution.
But I think also, frankly, for example, to do say a storage replication, we would actually have to replace production SAN in this environment, and
it wasn't capable of doing that.
We didn't have a production SAN that could do that natively, so we would have had to replace that. You know, capital investment, and frankly, I mean, we spent a lot of time. We just focused on infrastructure, and frankly, a lot of the SAN replication stuff that we're seeing, I'm sort of wondering how relevant it's going to be. There is some value in some of the tiering cleverness that's built around some of the storage vendor technology, but I think you'll find that a lot of that, maybe not tier one, but tier two replication technology is going to sort of become a bit redundant in this scenario. I'll give you the shirt at the end. Yes.
To be honest, there wasn't anything very hard that we hit in terms of getting it all to go. The areas that we underestimated in terms of, I guess, work effort were probably around getting in the pilot phase, building out the networking component, because we wanted to build out, the different. There's a management VLAN. There's a management team. There was a cluster team, and there was a variety of teams. It was really around just building out the detailed design. There really weren't anything that we came across that was too big a problem. Obviously, the release candidate versioning problem around the replica was something that probably took a little while to nut out. The installs all went pretty well.
I think the interesting thing was that a lot of the infrastructure that this was running on was not cutting edge. There was some new servers, but a lot of it was actually, for the pilot stuff was relatively old, and that was probably what we expected to bump into was issues around drivers and install and stuff.
And also wanting to, we wanted to play with storage spaces, so actually disabling the RAID controllers so that we could get access to the raw storage. Just those things, nothing super complicated.
Good. I'll take the guy at the front and then we'll...
No, we just stuck to NTFS. We just stuck to NTFS, used it purely. It was purely to pretend it was a SAN so we could test the clustering on the nodes. But it was very easy to set up.
Yeah. And because you've got a newer server, and does that mean you can't use Virtual Machine Manager at all?
Server 2012 isn't supported by System Center at the moment. So there's a technology preview that does support it. But we were not in that slew for the RDP. So it's due any minute, but you couldn't use it at all.
Just to be clear, what that means is VMM, that's it. So obviously the rest of the functionality of System Center is available to you, but VMM isn't supporting the current the Server 2012 version of Hyper-V. But I think we're pretty close to having that release. Yeah, sorry.
Just what's your DR SLA and
procedure? Yep. So we went through a lot of that process. So we actually had a formal DR project fire up. And in terms of the formality of getting... So in terms of our restoration target, we're given a day by the business to get everything up and running. In terms of our window... depending on the level of the application. So in SQL terms, we'll probably be 15 minutes, something along those lines. In terms of the VMs, they're not as... The age of them is not as important because most of those are Citrix instances. Yeah, so the age of them is not as important. The critical, the data components, I guess, that we're looking at, we would be aiming for sort of 30 to 15 minutes.
Just a little note on architecture. The Hyper-V replica is obviously being utilised to replicate VMs. Our architectural prescription wouldn't be that you use that to replicate your databases.
SQL,
So for example, the SQL VM may be, but the underlying database would be using native SQL replication technologies, the same for Exchange. So, just to be clear, we wouldn't be putting forward that Hyper-V replica is going to solve all of your data replication issues, but it's certainly helpful in terms of keeping infrastructure up and very fast cut over.
Yeah, and bringing things over like our print servers and things that you need for the core.
So, and back to your question, there's obviously an overlay from a managed service provider view around what is the process in terms of help desk, establishing cross DC network transition, all those types of things, which is a more detailed thing that sits above this. But this is an enabling layer for us, which really solves a messy problem about virtualization replication.
We've got to the point where we know what all those targets are, but then the business sort of pulled back from firing that project off. So, we're busy in the background proving all the technology, and then the business will probably sign off on that project, kicking off again in about 6 months' time.
But based on what we've seen, what our view is that we will actually be able to exceed the RPOs, really make them far, far more aggressive than what we've been set. So, yeah.
How many, you've got a 10 megabit link there. How many VMs are you replicating across that?
Oh, so we're only doing two at the moment. So, yeah, it's not a lot, and they're fairly small. We haven't done the detailed review, but it doesn't. That traffic is, that 10 meg pipe is used for our branch office traffic as well. So we're not seeing any impact on performance there. And in fact, we're in the process of doing a WAN review with Telstra anyway. So we're moving our carriers. So we'll probably pump that link up significantly anyway.
How many do you intend to actually replicate?
In our target, we're probably around 20 to 25. Is what we need. And then there are others that we would just spawn local VMs.
Yes?
Just moving back one question. Are you recommending against replicating SQL Server databases? Or
what we're saying is in terms of...
In this case?
No. We're just saying...
In our intent, we I don't know what the formal guidance is, but we wouldn't be replicating our SQL database over that. We'd be using probably log shipping to a second server or a third server in this case.
Mm.
But I don't know what the formal guidance on any of that is.
So anything which is an application workload image, like a virtual image that we're using, so for example, at the moment these guys haven't virtualized SQL anyway.
For our production ERP, we run our BI stack completely virtualized.
Yeah, so we would still be replicating the underlying OS database. But what I'm suggesting is, to get the transactional integrity, we'd use SQL replication. Because you've got the atomic integrity dealt with, as opposed to
anyway through VSS. But
yeah. And it's also the asynchronous nature of the replication. It's probably a question mark in our mind about whether we would go that way.
Any further questions? Great.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. Anyone who asks a question who wants a T-shirt, come up the front,
Sorry,
please.
Sorry, last question.
Microsoft recommends you do your temp files as a separate VM.
Yep, as a separate VHD.
Yeah, VHD, sorry. What do they recommend? How do you overcome the replication issue, like the issue where you need those temp files
So when your failure occurs, you've still got to touch the VM on the replicated side to get it up. You've got to tell it. Not manually created, because what the Microsoft guys said is the temp file, if it can't find D, will self-create on the C drive, because it will fire up for...
But would Hyper-V start?
No. No, you have to create... There's a DR event is occurring. You have to manually tell it there's a DR event occurring.
But would you, in Hyper-V, it won't see those disks, it won't see that file.
It won't see the D drive.
Yeah, so it won't start the VM if it doesn't see the file.
Yeah, they were telling us it will.
Oh, right.
So that's what I'm saying, that's what we want to test. But they were saying it will because it's only for the temp file, the working memory set, and it'll go on to C.
Right.